Today's shir is Masechta Yevam Daf Tzadik, and our shir begins on Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph, the first top line, Toshma. In our previous shir, we began a discussion if the Chachamim have a right, what are the rights of the Chachamim vis-a-vis Dinei the Torah. The halacha is that if a Kohen receives Truma and somebody else eats that Truma, the halacha is he has to pay Keren, the value, the principle of it, and the Chaimish. But we measure a chaimish, the chaimish is chaimish milabar. That means if somebody ate truma worth $4, he would have to pay back $5. As the Torah Kedoshah says, v'ish ki yoichel kodesh b'shkoga, v'yosef chamishas alav, v'nosel koyin es ha-kodesh. He has to pay koyin back truma, and he has to be paying back produce which is chulin, but that produce that is chulin becomes truma. Tashma. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says, "Ochal, if somebody b'shogig ate truma, he ate truma tameya mishalim. He has to pay back chulin tayrim." And the halacha is, as we just said, that we have to pay back since the Torah says, "For nosan l'koyin es hakodesh," you have to pay back in produce. You have to pay back something that is something that could become truma. So again, achal truma tameya, misham chulim tayrim. The Rishonim ask a interesting question. They ask that we know that halacha is kimle b'derabim nei, that if somebody does an aveira for which there are two punishments, we give him the more serious punishment. But not only do we say kimle b'derabim nei when the person did the aveira b'mezid, where he deserves the most serious punishment, and therefore we don't give the weaker punishment, but we actually say kimle b'derabim nei even by the aveira which was done b'shoigig, if it's an aveira that if you would have done b'mezid, you would be chayiv a most serious punishment, we apply the concept of kimle b'derabim nei. So ask the Rishonim, if somebody eats truma, somebody takes somebody else's truma, eats truma b'mezid, he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. So since he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, so one, if he did a b'mezid, yes, this individual happened to have done a b'shagig, why should that not be considered a situation where we apply the principle of kimle b'derabinei? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that since the Torah expressly says that you have to pay it, v'yosef chamishasa olav, the Torah expressly says it, and every time where this rule would be applicable, the circumstances that I just described would be there. So we see that the Torah is saying that here, don't apply the concept of kimle b'derabinei. Another pshat that I saw is that when do we say kimle b'derabinei? If there are two punishments, so the Torah says we give the more serious punishment. But when we're paying the money here, we're not paying the money as a punishment. We're paying the money because he took away from the kohen something that belongs. And since he took it away, something that he belongs, therefore we don't use the principle of kimle b'derabinei. The problem with that answer is that it only addresses the keren, the principle. It doesn't address the chaimish. Others say that even if there's a principle of kimle b'derabinei, we don't apply the concept of kimle b'derabinei where the price is a kapara. By paying the keren v'chaimish, this person who ate it will have a kapara. There, we don't say kimle b'derabinei. Continues again, says the Gemara Tashma, ochal truma tameya. If somebody ate b'shoigig truma, which is tamei, how does he pay back? Mishalim chulun tahirim. Says the Braisa, shilim chulun tameim. But if instead of using chulun tahirim as a repayment, he used chulun tameim, sumchus aimim b'shumra meya, b'shoigig, if he paid the payers tameim b'shoigig, that means he wasn't aware that they are tamei. The halacha is tashlum of tashlumim, and he doesn't have to pay again. But if he did that b'mezit, he knew what he was paying back was tamei, and he still used that to pay back the kohen. The halacha is ein tashlum of tashlumim; it's not valid. And here too, Rashi says that the shoigig and mezid
is not that he did not know the halacha. The shaygig amazer is that he did or didn't know what he's using to pay back is tamei or tahar. The Chum Aymrim, the Chum disagree, echadzeh vechadzeh, whether it was b'shoigig or b'meizid, the halacha is tashlum of tashlumim, what you did is acceptable, b'chayz m'sham chulim tahirim, and now you have to pay the kayin with chulim tahirim. It says the Gemara v'avinim ba, and in order to analyze this b'raisa we said, b'meizid ain't tashlum of tashlumim, the halacha is that what he did is not valid. But why not? Tavav la'bracha, Dochem ne midi, he ate peiris tamayim, the like a chazle be made to masai, that a kohen can't eat peiris tamayim when he's tamay, the kamashamle, and he's paying back chulin, which are chazle be made to masai. And even though the ritva says that they automatically become truma, but at the moment that he paid them back, they weren't truma. So chulin tamayim are much more valuable. Chul and Temeim are much more valuable than Truma Temeia. Why are we being so strict? Amar Rava, so answers Rava. The Amar Le Kedi, and some say it was not Rava, it was just said anonymously. Chsuri Mechshuv Echtoni. This is the way that we have to understand this. So I saw that the Beis Yisrael says, where does the word Chsuri Mechshuv Echtoni come from? A little stronger. What he means to ask is, we often find in Shas, the Gemara says, Chsuri Mechshuv Echtoni, something was missing. How can we say that about a Mishnah? How can we say that about a Braisa? So he says that the Pasuk in Shir Shirim, when it describes Torah, it calls Torah Chamukhei Yerachayach. And the Gemara Mesech the Sukkah, Daf Mem Tesom Abeis, the Gemara Mesech the Mayikotten, Daf Tezayin Amun Aleph says that just like the Yerach is a place that's besaser, it's a place that's concealed, Divrei Torah have to be concealed. Not everything in Torah is revealed. He says, Chsuri Mechsra for Hochiktani is the word Chamukei, to teach us that sometimes not everything was said explicitly. Hochachal Truma Temeya, if somebody ate Truma Temeya, B'shoigig, Mishalem, Taldahu, he could pay anything. Ochel Truma Tahira, if he ate Truma Tahira, Mishalem, he has to pay Chulim Tahirim. Shilem Chulim Tameya, if instead of paying back with Chulim Tahirim, he paid with Chulim Tameya. Sumchas Ayim Mishim Rameya, B'shoigig, if he paid this, he didn't realize that these payers were Tameyim, Tashlum of Tashlumim. But if he did it B'mezid, ain't Tashlum of Tashlumim. V'cham Ayimrim, Bein Shaygig bein b'mezid, whether he knew or didn't know tashlum of tashlumim, v'chayzim mishalim chulim tayrim. He has to take it again. Now, ask the Gemara. The Gemara makes its point. V'hocha, d'midaraisa, when he paid back with payer tamayim, the halacha is tashlumim al yehu. Midaraisa, it's considered full-fledged tashlumim. To the degree that it's considered the property of the kohen, the Mekadosh Bar Kohen Isha, were the Kohen to take this Truma that he received and be Mekadosh and Isha with that Truma, Tavs Le Kedushin. It's considered a valid Kedushin because it's his. And still, Om Rabbanan, ain't Tashlumim Tashlumim. When the Rabbanan say that it's not valid, that means it doesn't become the property of the Kohen. And that means if the Kohen were to use that produce to be Mekadosh and Isha, we would say that she's not his wife. Because as we know, the critical rule in making Kedushin is that the whatever is being used to affect the Kedushin has to belong to the Chassan. And if we're saying it doesn't belong to the Chassan, then the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. But really it is a Kedushin. And we're going to take an Eishes Ish, Kishrin Eishes Ish, Lamal Amma, someone who's really married, because the Kedushin of the Raisa was a good Kedushin, and we're going to say that she's not married and she's going to live with another man when she, of course, may not. Answers the Gemara, my ain't a shlum to shlum to come Rameya, the boy had a shlum a chalum tarim. He has to pay again, but not that what he did is completely discounted. Ask the Gemara, if that's what Rameya meant to say, Ihochi Sumchis that said, Hein Rabbanan, They're saying the exact same thing. Because the Rabbanan who disagree with Simchas also say that Tashlum of Tashlumim, but you have to take Truma again. So where do we have the Machlaikas? Says the Gemara, the point of their Machlaikas is a different issue. Amar of Achbar Eder Vika, Kansu Shoyig Otomezit. The Machlaikas is regarding a different concept. And that is, according to Simchas, only if he did a B'mezid does the halacha that he has to take and pay again with chul and tayrim. But if he did it with, what he did was b'shayig, we don't make him do it over again. And the chum disagree whether he did it b'shayig or whether he did it b'mezid, he has to do it over again. So this is not a question. This is not a raya. Tashma. So the Gemara begins a different sugya. Dam shenitma, the dam of a carbon that became tamei. V'zarka, and the kohen spritzed that dam on the mizbeach. B'shagig, if he did it b'shagig, that means it became tamei b'shagig, or he didn't know it's tamei. Hortza, the halacha is that the carbon is considered effective. B'mezid, but if he did it b'mezid lo hortza, the carbon is not effective. Ask the Gemara for hocha. In this case, the Torah says medaraisa tzuya tzitz. The pasuk says regarding the tzitz, v'sisa tzitz zov tor. We learn from here that the tzitz is mechaper in a situation where a carbon, the tzitz is meratzen a carbon that became tamei. There's a question how far it goes. Does it make that you should allow that even b'di'evid, that even l'chatchila we could rely on it, or only b'di'evid? But clearly, midaraisa, the tzitz is extremely powerful. The Tanya, as the Braisa expressly teaches us, Amatzitz Meratza, Al Adam Valabos Valachelev, Shanitma Bein Meshag, Bein Mezah, Bein Meinus, Bein Beratzen. The Rishonim point out that Bein Beinus, Bein Beratzen is really, there is no difference between Rotzen and Mezid. That just since the Gemara said Oynus and Shagig, which obviously there is a difference between Oynus and Shagig, so it also says Mezid and Rotzen, even though it's both the same. Amri Rabbonim, yet even though Midaraisa, the carbon is a carbon kosher, the Rabbonim said Loihurtza. So what does that mean, Loihurtza? That means that the carbon, according to the Rabbonim, is invalid. If the carbon, according to the Rabbonim, is invalid, you're going to have to bring another carbon. When you're going to bring another carbon, so the halacha is like this. If you're bringing a carbon that you're supposed to bring, fantastic. If you're bringing a carbon that you're not supposed to bring, so it's considered chulin bazara, and you're not allowed to bring chulin bazara. So how could the Rabbanan say that the carbon is invalid when midaraisa it is actually valid, and it's going to turn out that you're bringing a carbon that you're not supposed to bring? V'had ma'ayil chulin bazara. Answers the Gemara. What it means is that nobody's allowed to eat the meat of such a carbon. The owners indeed have a kapara and won't have to bring another carbon. But as the Gemara, what did you just say, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina? That they're not going to be, that the Rabbanan are declaring that you're not allowed to eat the meat of that carbon. But the eating of the meat of a carbon is a mitzvah. As the pasuk says, "Va'ochloi sona shekupa behem melamet shokanim oichlim or baalim eskaprim." So how could Chazal say that you shouldn't do that mitzvah where the Torah says you're obligated to do that mitzvah? Isn't this clearly an indication that the power of Chazal is to undo, to go against what it says in the Torah? Says the Gemara, it's not a raya because sheva tasushana. When we have a discussion about the power of Chazal, that's only when they're actively telling you to do something that the Torah told you that you shouldn't do. Here, what you're not doing something actively, it's just a passive. And since it's only passive, so the way Rashi seems to explain that since you're not actively violating something that says in the Torah, that's not considered that you went against the Torah. It just happened by itself. Others, the Meiri, seems to have a different approach. Even though we're having a discussion, says the Meiri, what is the power of the Chachamim? Says the Meiri, the pshat in this Gemara is that the Torah might not have given the Chachamim the power to go against what it says in the Torah when it involves kum v'aseh. But everybody will agree that the Torah gave the right to Chachamim to go against what it says in the Torah, even though it involves when it's only Sheva Al-Tasa. But if all what you're doing is a Sheva Al-Tasa, we could be more lenient, and therefore that's no question that it may be done. Agamar just taught us a very important halacha, a very important rule. Balam Kahanim Oichlim or Balam Eskaprim. The Kahanim eat and the Balam have a kapara. So I saw that what is shot in this Gemara. The Mesilas Yesharim and Perek Chavav explains. The Kahanim, we know, represent Tzadikim. What do Kahanim and Tzadikim represent? A very important concept. And that is that we know that, of course, when somebody's doing a mitzvah, when somebody's learning Torah, he's doing a mitzvah, he's doing the Ratzon Hashem, he's serving Hashem. But when somebody's doing something which is gashmius, eating, other such gashmius activities, we have a hard time understanding that should be considered an avodas Hashem. Teaches us the Gemara, says the Mesilas Yesharim. Kohanim oichlim and balam eskaprim. When Kohanim eat food, not only do you serve Hashem by learning and davening and doing mitzvahs, we serve Hashem even with Kohanim Oichlim, even with the most gashmistig activity of just eating. And in fact, this concept is taken a step further. The Gemara in Masechet Menachos discusses if Akum could bring a carbon. So says the Gemara Masechet Menachos, Daf Samach Gimel Amad Beis, that Akum could bring carbon oila, but Akum can't bring a carbon shlomim. Why? If we accept carbonus from Akum, why is there a difference between a carbon oil and a carbon shlomim? So according to what we just learned, it's very understandable. The Mesilas Yesharim taught us that we in Klal Yisrael have a very important concept towards our religion, towards what our religion demands of us. Klal Yisrael accepts that Avodas Hashem is not just limited to the Beis HaMedrash and to the Beis HaKnesses. Avodas Hashem permeates everything we do. Avodas Hashem is 24/7. And as the Gemara just said, you eat meat and you're doing a mitzvah. Not only are you doing a mitzvah, balam eskaprim. That's how the owners who brought the carbon actually get their kapara. The Akum don't understand that. They understand that when you do something l'shem shemayim, it's a mitzvah. But that you're eating and that's considered a mitzvah, that's a concept that's totally foreign to them. Therefore, says the Gemara Masechta Menachos, Akum could bring carbon oila. What happens with a carbon oila? The carbon oila is completely burnt on the mizbeach. That's a concept that they could well understand. But that you bring a carbon shlomim, whereas we know most of the carbon shlomim is eaten. It's eaten by the kohanim and it's eaten by the owners. That you take meat and eat that meat and it should be considered that you did an avodas Hashem, that's something that the Akum can't understand. And that's why the Akum don't bring carbon shlomim, they only bring carbon oila. In fact, I saw from the Sefer Shevet Me'Yehuda, the Zohar says that Purim, that Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur is considered like Purim, clearly indicating that Purim is even greater than Yom Kippur, because we're comparing Yom Kippur to Purim. What makes Purim greater than Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. The answer is what we just discussed. Yom Kippur, how do we serve Hashem? By fasting, by not eating. That's understandable that you could serve Hashem by fasting and eating, and not eating. But what is Purim? Purim is just the opposite. Purim is a day of eating. Purim is a day of feasting. And that should be a way that we serve Hashem, that is something that is something that's very, very high level of avodas Hashem. Somebody who comes to the level that even with his eating and drinking and rejoicing, that's the way he's serving Hashem, that's the highest level. And that's why Yom Kippur, the day we fast, is only maybe comparable to Purim. Then McDover actually says, the Pasuk says that when the Kohanim brought the Karbonis, the Pasuk says, V'ochlu oisam asher kupa behem. So says the HaMikdover, why does the Pasuk use the word V'ochlu oisam asher kupa behem? It would be adequate that the Pasuk says V'ochlu asher kupa behem, that you should eat the carbon and get the kapar. What's oisam? So says the HaMikdover that the Pasuk is coming to teach us what happens if a Kohen brings a carbon. So if a Kohen brings a carbon, we can make an argument that he did the avodah of bringing a carbon, and he doesn't have to eat from the carbon. Teaches us the Torah, v'ochlu oisam asher kupa behem, that even the Kohanim, who did all of the avodah of bringing a carbon, the Kabbalah and the Halacha and the Zrikah, so we would think that certainly that should affect the kapara for the Kohen, and he doesn't need to eat it. Teaches us the Torah, v'ochlu oisam, even the karbanas that are brought by the Kohanim, if we want that those karbanas should be effective, oisam, those karbanas that the Kohanim themselves brought should be effective, they can only be effective if there's the achila of the Kohanim. For as we're learning in our shir, the achila of the Kohanim, of any karban, is such a critical element in the effectiveness that the karban could bring a kapara. Amalei, so Rechezda said, by last faith, I want to ask you a question from different subjects. Oral. The halacha is that if somebody becomes a ger in Erev Pesach, we don't bring a Karban Pesach on his behalf because we're concerned that next year he'll be tamei with a tumas meis, and he'll say to himself, last year, Erev Pesach, I became a ger, I went to the mikveh, and I was allowed to eat Karban Pesach. And he'll say to himself, I'm tamei, and I'll go to the mikveh, and I'll eat from Karban Pesach. And he won't recognize that last year he became tamei as an akum. And akum is really not makabel tumah. And therefore we're not concerned about tumah, that tumah. This year you're already a full-fledged Yisrael. And if you become tamei, you have to have hazaz, you have to be sprinkled with the bechatas on the third day and the seventh day. And if that was not done, going to the mikveh is inadequate. So what do we see here? The Chazal went and said that this, Beis Hillel went and said, this person who's supposed to bring a Karban Pesach should not bring a Karban Pesach, even though halachically he is required to. Hazal, the halacha is that if somebody has to have Hazal, he became Tamei, as we just said, he has to have Hazal on the third day and the seventh day. If the seventh day is Shabbos Erev Pesach, now we know Shabbos Erev Pesach, we do bring the Karban Pesach. If we won't do Hazal on this individual today, he won't be able to have a Karban Pesach, because without this Hazal, he's still Tamei. The halacha is that Hazal is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. The halacha is because whenever you do Hazal, it looks like you're masakin, you're fixing the person. The person is tamei, and now I'm making him tohor. So the halacha is we shouldn't do hazar, even though the price is that he's not going to be able to eat a Karban Pesach. Ismail, the halacha is that we're allowed to do, as we said earlier, a bris on Shabbos, if the eighth day is on Shabbos. But what happens if the only way to bring the knife to do the bris is by carrying it through the Shusha Rabbim? Chazal teaches us that the halacha is one is not allowed to carry the knife through Rosh Hashanah, even though by carrying not allowed to carry the knife in such a case, even though the price that you're paying is that you're not going to be able to do the bris. Rashi says it may be a situation, as we discussed earlier in our Masechta, that if you're not going to make the bris, it'll turn out that the father has a child at home that's an oral. And we know that if a parent has a child that's an oral, he's not going to be able to eat from the Karban Pesach. Sadin betzitzis. The halacha is that one Chazal said that you can't put tzitzis made out of wool on a beged that's made out of cotton, because we're concerned that even though, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, the halacha is esse doicha loisa say, and therefore the essay of tzitzis is doicha de loisa say of Klayim, but that's only when you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. But the halacha is, urisim oisoi, prat l'ksus laila. The mitzvah of tzitzis is not on ksus laila. A machlokes rishonim, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that any garment that you're wearing at night is exempt from tzitzis. What does it mean? It depends what type of a garment it is. If it's a garment that's meant for nightwear, pajamas, the halacha is, even if you're wearing those pajamas by day, they're potter from tzitzis. And if it's a garment that's meant for day wear, even though you're wearing it at night, it's chayib tzitzis. So midaraisa, a garment that's a day garment that you wear by day, everybody will agree is chayib tzitzis. But if you're going to put tzitzis, said Chazal, on a linen garment with wool tzitzis, and now you're going to wear it at night, or you're going to have them as your pajamas, then halacha is you're going to be wearing shatnas. And the only time we apply the concept of Esa Daichalaisa say is what you're doing is a mitzvah. But if what you are doing is not a mitzvah, we have no right to wear shatnas. And because of that, Chazal said that we're never allowed to put tzitzis on, we're never allowed to make shatnas tzitzis. Even though by saying so, we're taking away the mitzvah of tzitzis. Kiftzei Atzeres. The halacha is on Shavuos, we bring the Kiftzei Atzeres together with the Shtei Alechem. And the halacha is, if they weren't done properly, the halacha is we don't do the Zrikas Adam. Because, and by doing so, we lose so many mitzvahs that we have involved with bringing the Kiftzei Atzeres. And that means, somebody brought these Karban Shlomim with the wrong intention when he brought them on Shavuos, the halacha is that we don't allow him to do all the avodah. That means we won't do the zrikas adam, we won't do the aktaras emrim, we won't do eating the carbon. So we see from here that chachamim have the right to undo a mitzvah midaraisa. Certainly, shayfa v'lulav. We know that midaraisa, if Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, Sukkot is on Shabbos, we're supposed to blow the shofar. We're supposed to take the dalaminim. And here we're learning that if it's on Shabbos, we know what halacha is. We don't, because Chazal made a halacha of Shema Yavirenu. So we see how Chazal have, again, a raya, that Chazal have strong power. So Rav Chizda said to Rava, I wanted to ask you all these questions. But now that we learned on the bottom of Amar Aleph, Hash to the Shanisulon, now that you taught us that B'sheva Taisa, that is a situation of Sheva Mataisa, that's not considered a problem, Loi Makalu. Kulanami, all these examples that we just gave, a Sheva Taisa. And that's why we can't ask from any of these examples. Toshma, so ask the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Elof Tishmuan. Even if the Navi tells you to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, Kigon Eliyahu b'Har Carmel. But we know there was a big debate between Eliyahu and the Navi Abal on Har Carmel, and they brought Karbonis, and Eliyahu challenged them. Let's see to whose carbon the fire will descend. Now at that time, it was already a time that Karbonis were not allowed to be brought outside the base of Mikdash. Yet, we see that Eliyahu at that point brought those Karbonis. Hakel fisho shmamalo. That we're allowed to bring Karbonis, even though with the Torah it's not allowed to. Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, the Ksiv Elof Tishmon. The Torah says that Elof Tishmon, the Torah empowered the Navi, that when he sees the need that a mitzvah that something should be done, even though it's against what the Torah said, we have to do what he says. So ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, why can we learn from there that in all situations where Chazal see the need to go against what it says in the Torah, they're allowed to do so? Answers the Gemara, Migda Milsashani. There was a situation where Klal Yisrael was under attack. And Eliyahu saw that it was necessary to do so. Since Eliyahu saw that it's necessary, then you're allowed to do it. But under other circumstances, it's not mutter. Other Rishonim say the Migda Milsa Shani is that it's only on a one-time deal. That one time, Eliyahu allowed them to bring Kabbanis outside the base of Migdash. But not that on a permanent basis, you're allowed to go against what it says in the Torah. Others say that Pshat in the Gemara is that Eliyahu HaNavi used his power as a Navi to do so. The Torah gives the Navi the special permission to do so. But that doesn't mean that everybody else has that power. And in fact, I saw from the Sefer Magolos Hayam, the pasuk in that parasha says, "V'hi ba'alois ha'mincha, v'yigash elav ha'novi, v'yom Hashem elakei Avram Yitzchak v'Yisrael." And the question is, asked the Sefer Magolos Hayam, why specifically over here is Eliyahu ha'novi called ha'novi? Normally, throughout Tanakh, when we find the pasuk referring to Eliyahu ha'novi, he's called Eliyahu. Here we find that the pasuk calls him Hanavi. Why all of a sudden here is he called Hanavi? So he explains that Magal Shiyam. The way we just explained that this is a special authorization that was given to Nevi'im. So Eliyahu Hanavi was telling the people, he was really addressing the situation that we're addressing in our Shia today. And he's saying, I'm allowing a carbon to be brought outside the Beis HaMikdash. Clearly something which is not, is an Aveira. But says Eliyahu, Vayoyma HaNavi, I'm a Navi. And when Navi has the right to do so, when it's a situation of Migda Milsa, and that's why I'm allowed to do what I did. Toshma. So Gemara brings another raya. The halacha is that if a husband sent a get to his wife, and before the get was delivered to the wife, so she's not divorced until she actually receives the get. The halacha is that you're not supposed to be mevatel it. The husband should not void the get. Because the wife may not be aware of that bittel. She'll think that the get she received is a good get. And she'll get remarried on it based on that get. When the get is really not a good get because the husband was mevatel the get. Bitloy, what happened if he did so? So Chazal clearly taught us that he's not supposed to do it. What is the halacha if he did it? So says the Gemara, Bitlam mevatel divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer en yachol levatloy. He can't do so. V'loy lahosif al tanoi. If there were conditions in the get that he wants to modify, he can't. Shem kein ma koich bezden yofa. If Rav Gamliel said that once the get is given to the shliach, no change is allowed, that is the halacha. Ask the Gemara. V'hocha the midraisa bottle get. Let's think about this. Midraisa, this get is void. Because midraisa, the husband clearly has the right to do so. And now what he's saying, Mishum, because we're worried about the power of Bezdin, the authority of Bezdin, we're applying the concept of Makoyach Bezdin Yofa, and with Kasharin and Eshes Shlama, a woman who's really married because the get wasn't a good get is going to get remarried. How can we allow so? Answers the Gemara: Man the Mekadosh Adata Debron Mekadosh. Whoever is Mekadosh Adas Rabbanon, and since he's Mekadosh Adas Rabbanon, Afkinu Rabbanon LeKedush Menei. Chazal say that they follow all the instructions. Chazal. So Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that if Chazal take, if somebody was mevatel to get, something which we're learning now, Chazal don't want, Chazal have the authority to undo the original Kedushin. And therefore, she's never considered married, and she's not considered an Eishes Ish. Others say that not only is the Kedushin that is originally done Adas Kedushin, the entire marriage is only acceptable as long as Chazal want that acceptable. And as soon as Chazal say that the marriage is not, it's not. Ask the Gemara, we can understand this concept, Amalei Ravina Laravashi, Hatenech Tekadosh Bekaspa, somebody who did Kedushin with a Kesef. So as we discussed in our previous shiur, there is the concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. So since we have a concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, that's why Chazal could say that money is not really Kesef Kedushin, and therefore they were never really considered married. But ask the Gemara, Kodesh Bia Makala Meima. How could Chazal say that a Kedushin that was done with Bia, it make believe it didn't happen? Answer the Gemara, Shavu Rabbanan L'Bilas L'Bilas Nus. Chazal have the ability to say that that Bila, which we thought was done L'Shem Kedushin, is not really a valid Kedushin. Our Gemara just taught us a very, very important concept, and that's the concept of the Kol Medad Kaddish Adat Rabbanan B'Kaddish, and the Rabbanan, when seeing necessary, Afkin Rabbanan B'Kaddush Minei, could undo the Kedushin. So, the Masham in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Sim Tes discusses a situation where a woman didn't have a proper yibum. A woman was, her husband died, didn't have yibum, and ended up marrying a second husband, and maybe she wasn't allowed to marry that second husband. Is there anything that we could do for her? So the Masham suggests that maybe we should do what we learned in our Gemara in such a situation, have somebody give a get and be mevatel the get improperly, and then the Gemara says that the Kedushin will become null and void. The Masham says that maybe under certain circumstances we could use this concept. The Micha Shloima in Shalos Tshuvos Micha Shloima, Rav Shloima Zalman Orbach, Chelek Aleph, Simen Ayin Vav, is very opposed to ever using the concept of Hafkos Kedushin, that Chazal have a right to annul a marriage. Because he says that our Gemara only mentions Hafkos Kedushin in this one specific situation, clearly indicating that only in this one situation where Chazal saw it necessary to do so, may we do so. To use this concept in any other area of halacha, because we think it'll work, is not something that we're allowed to do. Tashma, says the Gemara, Belezer ben Yaakov, Amar Belezer ben Yaakov, Shemati, Shebezdin, Makin v'Einshim, the Bezdin could give somebody Malkus, somebody, Bezdin could even give Misa, Shaloi min HaTayra, even to somebody who doesn't deserve that punishment. V'loi la'ava d'avra Torah, the purpose in doing so is not to violate what it says in the Torah. Alas, the siyog Torah. If Chazal see it fit that that's the right thing to do to protect the divrei Torah, the halacha is to do so. And again, the Taz says that this is only if they're not violating something that the Torah expressly says is mutar. Moreover, the Kesef Mishnah says that it's only on a neat basis. It's not that Bezdin has a right to institute something that's not in the Torah. If they see, as we're going to see, that there's a special need, then we're allowed to do so. Furthermore, the Rosh says, it's not that every Bezdin could do this. Only the Gadol HaDor, who was appointed by the Nasi, has the right to do so. The Marik disagrees. He says that any Bezdin has the right, but even the Marik says that who says it's not limited to the Gadol HaDor, says it has to be a Bezdin Kavua. You can't just take any three people and say, we decided to do this, even though it's against what it says in the Torah, even if it's not explicit in the Torah. The Torah says, based on this, sometimes, and again, like we're learning, it has to be a Bezdin Kavua. If they see the need, Bezdin can render a decision, even if according to the halachas, particularly what we discussed in our previous year, there weren't the type of edim that the halacha requires. Still, the halacha is we could do what's necessary. It says the Gemara Masabah, the Mechach Rachel, Asus B'Shabbos, Me'evonim. There was a person who was riding on an animal on Shabbos, Vivil Bezdin Saklua. And he was given skila for it, as he was a full-fledged Michal Shabbos. Loi Shemnesha Royal Kach, could the Isser of riding on a horse on Shabbos is not an Isser Darais, it's only Isser Darabonon. El Shah Shah Tzrichala. The Bezdin saw that we have to do so because they were concerned about the Shemirah Shabbos and Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, says the Gemara, enough in the episode. A man had relations publicly with his wife. And he give him Malkus. There is no Issa Deraisa in having relations publicly. El Shasha Tzrich Lekach. So we see that you do have the right, the Beis Din has the right to go against what it says in the Torah. It says the Gemara here too, it's a situation of Migdal Milsashani. When Beis Din sees that this is what's absolutely necessary, that's when they're allowed to do what has to be done. We learned in the Mishnah that the woman who got remarried based on the Eid Echad, the loch then got remarried, the loch is v'loizev, is not the first husband nor the second husband, matam-in-law. Ask the Rambam Nolan, for where do we know this halacha? Says, no, d'ksiv ki im l'sheira karvalav. V'amar ma'sheiroi ze ishtoi. That a kohen becomes tamei to his wife, V'ksiv lo yitam ba'al ba'im av l'hachaloi. Yet the Torah says that a husband should not become tamei to his wife. How do we reconcile these two psukim? Teaches us yesh ba'al shematama. Sometimes the husband does become tamei, and sometimes yesh ba'al shein matama. When the marriage is a marriage that is sanctioned, that the Torah, so then the halach is that the kohen should become tamei to his wife. Like the case of our Mishnah. Neither of them is entitled to what the wife finds. And the Gemara explains why. Says the Gemara, why did Chazal say that everything a wife earns goes to her husband? Because if the wife will keep her earnings, it's going to cause a lack of harmony in the marriage. The husband says, I'm supporting you. The husband's taking care of her, and she's keeping what she finds. But here we're dealing with a marriage where we want this these marriages to be terminated. And if she's going to, and if by her keeping the metzia, that's going to cause that lack of harmony, that's exactly Havilah Eva Veva. That's what exactly we want. Mamas Yadel. Normally, a husband is entitled to his wife's earning. Here, the halacha is that she's not entitled. Tamamai Amar Rabbanan Labala. Mas Yadel Labala. Because why did Chazal say that a wife's earnings go to her husband? Shindakachim is on, because he supports her. Hocha, where we learned that the husband doesn't support the wife. The halacha is she keeps her earnings because we want them to separate. I saw a very interesting shaila that the Cheshuke Chemed discusses. He says that there's a wife, a husband and wife, and obviously people who don't have much income. And the wife gets sometimes gifts of cash from her father, from her husband. And the question is, she would like to take meiser from those gifts and use the meiser to allow her husband to buy sfarim with that meiser. Because she knows her husband is a Talmud Chacham, he loves sfarim, but they don't have the money to buy sfarim. The question is, could she do so? So he quotes the Rav Reuven Feinstein, says that somebody came to his father once with such a similar story. There was a couple who was married, and he earned very little, she earned very little, and they wanted to know if they could give meiser, the meiser they should give to their own children. Normally you can't use meiser money for your own children. So Rav David and Rav Moshe suggested that this couple should arrange that the wife will not be supported by the husband. She doesn't have to give him her earning, and he doesn't have to support her. And that's the case. The money she earns is hers. She gives meiser from it. It's not clear that she's obligated to give meiser. Certainly a person that doesn't have enough to live on is not necessarily have to give meiser, because meiser k'sofim, as we've discussed, another shurim is only a minig. But she wants to give meiser. So she now has her own money from which she's taking meiser. But the obligation to support the wife is on the obligation to support the children is on the husband. So she's supporting people that she's not obligated to support. If she's supporting people that she's not obligated to support, the halacha is that she could use the meiser money for that purpose. The halacha is, even though a husband has the right to null his wife's nedarim, these two men cannot. So the second man, second husband, is obvious that he can't because it's not really a husband. But why not the husband, first husband, who really is her husband? Says the Maratama Mai Amrachmana Bala Mefer. Why did the Torah give the right to null his wife's nedarim? Kadei Shloim Nizgana. A wife may make a neder that will bother the husband. And since it'll bother the husband, we don't want them to have that situation. So the Torah gave him the right to annul the nedarim. Hachat Nizgana. Here we have such a situation where we want him not to be happy with her, tizganav tizganav, and that will quicken the divorce that they should separate, which was Chazal made. Another pshat that I saw is that when a wife makes a neder, every time a wife makes a neder, the neder is self understood that she's making a neder only with the understanding that my husband is going to be satisfied with what I'm doing. Because a wife wants to satisfy a husband. A wife wants to have shalom bayis in the marriage. But in a case like this, where the wife knows that when she is that this marriage is going to be terminated, the halacha, as the Mishnah said, teaches us that they have to get divorced. So when she made the neder, she did not make the neder with the understanding that I'm making the neder with the understanding that it should only be valid if my husband is satisfied. Because she knows that her husband's not going to be a husband for much longer. So the neder was made under the understanding that this should be a full-fledged neder. If the neder was made with that type of an understanding, that's why the halacha is that the husband doesn't have the ability to be made for to null such a neder.